Welcome to Your Q, an open invitation to come together, collaborate, and take action toward a more connected, informed, and thriving Douglas County. Your Q is all about celebrating, uplifting, and educating our community. Each week, we'll highlight the people, ideas, and organizations making a difference and invite you to join us in shaping the future of Douglas County. Brought to you by Roseburg Schools with support from the Ford Family Foundation. And now, here's your host, Roseburg School Superintendent Jared Corden with Your Q on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon and welcome to Your Q. Another beautiful day in Douglas County. It's been just beautiful weather this week. It's fantastic. So nice, right? Really, really grateful for this beautiful weather and also no smoke in the air. It's been beautiful.
We'll take it.
I know. A lot of the state's been struggling with that. Thank you, Douglas County, for keeping us healthy. And it's great. Well, listen, we talk a lot in this county about things like housing and homelessness and affordability. But sometimes we don't immediately think about what happens to animals when people who love them experience these challenges. For many people, their pets are families. And animals, as we know, provide companionship, routine, connection, and purpose. So animal advocacy is much more about not just finding homes for homeless animals. It's about keeping pets and their people together, making veterinary care accessible. And we've got a great group of guests today who are doing great work in our community, working together and individually in their organizations to focus on our pets and making sure they're taken care of, our people, making sure they're taken care of. So thank you very much for being here and being part of this ecosystem in our county. It's focused on this holistic view of wellness that involves also our animals. So I'd love for you to introduce yourselves and talk about your organization for a few minutes and maybe talk about where your organization fits into this ecosystem of care for animals. So Joe, I'm going to start with you.
Okay, my name is Joe. I'm with Love a Pit Rescue, Inc. We are a rescue that specializes in pit bulls and bully breeds, which is the most difficult breeds to get out of shelters. They are also the number one dog put down in shelters, which is why we decided to specify in them. We are listed in Winston, Oregon, but our facility is out in 10 Mile. We currently house about 27 dogs, and we've been doing this for about 20 years now.
Wow. And you've got a guest with you, Joe. We've got Misty here.
Yeah, this is Misty, my service dog.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. She looks very comfortable. And that tutu, she looks great, doesn't she?
Kind of jealous.
Yeah, I know. It looks great. Great. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for being here. Bridget?
Hi, my name is Bridget. I am a volunteer with Soul to Soul Animal Rescue and Sanctuary. We are listed, I believe, as Roseburg, but we do not have a facility. We are 100% foster-based. So how then do we have sanctuary in our name? That is because any of the animals that come into our care that are at some point deemed unadoptable, whether it be medical, age, behavior, those animals have permanent sanctuary in a private home with one of our volunteers.
That's great. Thank you. Jake.
Hi there. I'm Jake. I work at Saving Grace Humane Society. It's located in Roseburg, Oregon. We provide many various resources to the community, leading veterinary care, as well as homing resources, as well as just assisting those in the community when they're having a trouble trying to move with their animals or any of those various activities. I was also a longtime volunteer at the Humane Society before starting my job there. So I do have a little bit of insight into that on both aspects.
Yeah, great. Thanks for your work there, both organizations. Hi, Natasha.
Hi. Yeah, I just started about 6 weeks ago as the new executive director at Saving Grace Humane Society. I'm very excited to be here. I've always had a huge passion for animals, so this is kind of melding my nonprofit skills and experience with one of my greatest passions. And I is such a wonderful organization. We are the only full-service animal shelter in the county. All of our funds stay local, and we work very closely with the county, bringing in different animals, and we're also the largest one as well from sheltering, fostering, as Jake mentioned, and also providing clinics for spay and neuter, vaccinations, things like that.
Yeah, such an important resource, always. That's great. Thank you. Hi, Jace.
Hi, my name is Jace. I'm with New Beginnings SPCA.
We foster cats. We don't have a local spot here in Roseburg as well, but we are foster based. We have fosters all throughout the Roseburg area, and we just try to help with cats that need to find a home.
Thank you very much. And Greg, thanks for joining the show today.
Thank you. I'm Greg with 104.5 Sam FM, and I'm very fortunate to work with all these people. We orchestrate the Pet of the Week and broadcast it through Lotus Media and all of our 5 stations, and really honored to be here today.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, for our guests that aren't as familiar, I'd love to talk a little bit more about the organizations, but let me just ask you a personal question. All of you have, just can tell this ethos of being service-oriented. You can pick up on that right away, even before the show. Meetings, like, these are people that want to get involved. There's many ways to get involved. I'm curious, what brought you personally to this work around animals?
For me, I've always loved animals. Growing up, we didn't get a chance to have very many because of my parents. So once I decided I wanted to get involved, I just got sucked into it. Also, my wife is obsessed, so kind of have to go with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that works.
Yeah.
Who else?
I mean, I have always been a big animal lover. It's been a part of my identity since I was a kid. I always knew I wanted to work with animals at some point. And then I had, you know, an experience recently, well, about 5 years ago, where I had my own dog went missing when I was on a hike and on my birthday, and he was gone for 10 days and was miraculously found, starved, but nearly 20 miles away. And through that experience, I met so many amazing people, strangers that were coming out in the middle of winter in the deep woods to come and help. It was really inspiring. It restored my faith in humanity, and the animal lover community is just as wonderful as the animals themselves. Mm-hmm. That really inspired me to help do one of the many things we do, which is reunify lost pets. So.
Love that.
Yeah, I was started at 15. I really liked animals, but I really didn't know what if I was going to really enjoy being at an animal shelter. And I started volunteering there, and I really found my passion with animals and just love working with them, as well as just love working with the people in the community. I really found my passion of giving back, and especially with my love for animals. It was just amazing to see these little souls and creatures to find their forever homes.
Yeah, that's really special, isn't it?
I was raised in a dairy farming family on the coast, and my grandfather was probably my biggest influence. He taught me about responsible animal husbandry. I came up in 4-H and FFA, and when I went away to college and then subsequently got work that I could actually earn a living at, I missed having animals around. So once I was at a point where I could purchase my own home, have a yard, I got my first dog, who was not a rescue or from a shelter, but this was way before there were really rescues around. Mm-hmm. And she was a learning experience. And I realized that maybe I wasn't the only one that was having some pretty crazy challenges. So after that, my subsequent pets were rescues. And the one that really got me involved actually volunteering with rescue was my first female boxer, who was a senior tripod. And I only got 20 months with her. But she was so inspiring. She had a lot of gumption, and she didn't give up. After having her for about 3 months, she started experiencing seizures, which, so there was 17 months the rest of her life with seizures. And I'm just thinking, if she could make it through this and I can help her through this, here is now another experience I need to share. So at that point, I started volunteering, and for years I was volunteering with 3 different boxer rescues. And then after I retired and came up here, I thought, I really need to help out locally. Mm-hmm. And that's how I found Soul to Soul.
Love that. It's great. That's super. Jake, I want to pivot back to you just real quick. So you started volunteering at Saving Grace.
Yes, right? That's correct.
And then this is going to shape a little bit of like your career path, is it not?
That is correct.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, that is correct. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my career. You know, at 15, I was young and still just starting in high school. And starting here at Saving Grace, I kind of just started with helping with cat team, just cleaning up after the cats, just assisting the team in any way. And I really enjoyed it, getting to spend one-on-one time with all the cats in the shelter. You kind of got to see every aspect from the adoptable pets to the cats receiving recovery and just their daily lives in the shelter. And after about a year, I ended up going into the animal clinic, volunteering in there. They needed somebody to help with recovery. And that's where I really found my passion. I just was so intrigued by the surgery aspect and all of the diagnostic equipment. I just really love how you're able to take something without a voice and be able to diagnose it. And it just was great, especially having such a great mentor there. Dr. Tyson there really just took in a 15-year-old and just really spilled all of her information out. And it was just, I could not get enough of it. So I ended up just kept going back, increasing my hours. And I just could not get enough of volunteering there and learning all about how animal anatomy works. And it just really opened a passion for me to where I started to think, wow, this could really become a career. So I decided to pursue my passion in veterinary medicine. And I just love caring for animals. It's just become such a great experience and just life-shaping.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's cool, right? When we get involved in things, it benefits us in many ways, including even our trajectory in life. So it's really great story. And I heard that you helped a three-legged cat.
Yes.
That eventually you adopted. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah, they were various surgeries that happen at Saving Grace Humane Society. We do amputations, and it was a surgery where they do need a safe space to recover. And I was like, oh, well, I've been volunteering for a while. I guess I could probably start fostering an animal. So I started fostering this little three-legged cat. And he was so raggedy. I mean, he did not look very appealing to the eye to somebody. But to me, he was super cute. And he was a kitten. And I just couldn't help but take him in. Well, I helped him on his road to recovery. And I was like, oh, it's about time to give him back for adoption. But something about him, he just like grew into my heart. He was just something, he was just like a unique milestone to my passion and veterinary medicine. And just a reminder that how resilient animals are. I mean, taking that awful experience and he became such a active young cat. And now he's living his life at my house here. He's very spoiled. But yeah, he was not a plan. He was a foster fail, so to say.
Yeah,
but at least I have one of those.
Yeah, it's great. There's so much we can learn from animals. I want to get into that later. Mm-hmm. But before we go to break, Natasha, you want to talk a little about tomorrow on Friday, August 28th. There's a 5 to 9 p.m., I think, at Melrose Vineyards. You want to talk a little bit about this event coming up?
Yes, we have our biggest fundraiser of the year, Paws for a Cause. It is going to be at Melrose Vineyards, and it is tomorrow at 5. You can still buy last-minute tickets. You can call the shelter, or you can also go on our website, SavingGraceHumaneSociety.org, and email any one of us, and we're happy to connect you to buying some tickets. If you can't buy tickets, though, you can still support us on our website, donate in other ways. But it's going to have live auction, silent auction. We have Dan Hearn. I don't know if anyone's familiar with him, but he was a little bit of a local legend, from what I understand, and he's coming back as our auctioneer. He just moved back to the area. And then Greg, right here, was voluntold to come and MC, so we're very excited to have him. And we'll also have a dessert dash and raffle. It's going to be a really good time. I'm really excited to be out there, and it'll, for me, being new to the community and new to the organization, it'll be a really great opportunity to meet everybody. So please come out and see me.
Yeah, so the money raised at this event, what does it do for animals in Douglas County?
Yeah, so all of the funds stay local. Like I said, we're the largest shelter in the county, so it's going to go to helping cats like Jake's little three-legged cat, ones that are in need when they're sick. We have the clinic, of course. We help to provide shelter. We also help lost pets, as we were talking about earlier, help them find homes and reunite them with their families. We also do subsidized spay and neuter clinics. We try to work with volunteer groups to help control cat populations. So one of the things we do is we work with volunteer groups that trap the cats, and then we'll spay and neuter them and then return them to their area so that they don't create more babies.
Yeah.
And which end up with more animals in our shelter. So yeah, we used to help dogs, cats. We also help some small animals, rabbits and guinea pigs occasionally. We get, we can't do reptiles because they require heat lamps and we just don't have the equipment for that. We do get an occasional pig or goat, and you've been there longer, you probably have seen some other interesting ones, but in general, all the funds will be going to helping create a humane community here in Douglas.
That's wonderful. So for our listeners listening, if they want tickets, where do they find them for tomorrow's event?
Yeah, so they can go on our website and they can call us or they can email development@savinggrace.info. That's probably the fastest, best way to do it. development@savinggrace.info, and then they can set you up to get tickets.
Wonderful. All right, we are going to take a quick commercial break. We got lots to talk about. So many great things happen in the community relative to pets, and so we're going to go to a quick break.
The conversation continues shortly. This is Your Cue on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. This is Your Cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, welcome back to Your Cue. Really great discussion today, and thank you very much for being here. All the work you're doing in the community, it's wonderful. I would like to invite you to talk a little bit more about your organization and also ways that people can get involved. I was shocked as I learned more about all these events in the community happening. Just ways to connect and for people to meet animals and, you know, have services there. So let's just start. Joe, you want to start us off? Just a little bit more about your organization, maybe ways people can be more involved in the community.
Well, so our organization is basically housing, rehabilitation, and readoption of pit bulls and bully breeds that are capable of being adopted out. We do take on some harder cases, and some of those become lifers within our facility. Some of them have to go through several years of rehab before they're ready to go. Unfortunately, sometimes that puts them in the age range where people quit looking at those dogs, and so ultimately that makes them a lifer in our facility. We try to keep those runs down so that we can keep the more adoptable dogs coming in and out. Most of our dogs are from within our state. But when we get up against harder walls of just a lot of dogs that would take a lot of time to rehabilitate, we end up pulling some dogs up from California that are adoptable and ready to go, mm-hmm. just to be able to keep funds going so that we're able to spay and neuter the dogs that are being adopted out, etc. We're fairly new to the area. We ran for 15 and a half years up in the Portland metro area. We've only been down here for 4. So there's still a lot of people that don't even know that we're out here.
Yeah.
Biggest thing our organization struggles for right now is donations and people coming out and volunteering to help take care of the dogs. As like I stated, we have 27 dogs in our facility, and it's just me and my wife that runs the whole facility at this point. We do have a couple of real regular volunteers that come out once or twice a week, but that's, you know, once or twice a week gives us a little break, but it doesn't help take that load off completely.
So, Jeff, for you at Love a Pet Rescue, what is your kind of number you're hoping for adoptions in a year?
Well, obviously, we want to get as many pit bulls and bully breeds out of the shelter system as we can and into good and loving homes. And that all depends on adoption and how much the dogs are coming in and out. Mm-hmm. Some years we only have 4 or 5 adoptions all year, and some years we've had 15 to 20 adoptions a year. So that's just really a numbers game and how people are looking at, and also being bully breeds, people that are open-minded about the dogs. Because unfortunately, these dogs get a bad rap for a lot of the things that people do to them, and it's not the breeding, you know, it's how these dogs are treated.
Yeah.
As I tell people a lot when I'm advocating for them, because they say, well, it all depends on how the dog is raised. It's like, no, that dog is a mirror. It reflects what you do to it. Mm-hmm. You treat it good, it's going to be a good dog.
Yeah.
You treat it bad, it's going to turn.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing is awareness. Mm-hmm. Helping to change that reputation. We used to do a lot of advocacy work and educational and stuff up north. We haven't had the resources here to open that back up.
Yeah.
We used to do a lot of food pantry work up north where we had good food contracts. We haven't had that down here. So there's a lot of things in our program that is currently on the back burner and missing that we used to offer up in the Portland metro area.
Yeah, so ways to get involved with Love a Pet Rescue. And gosh, it's been amazing just to watch, you know, watch Misty here. Just sweet dog. She's like just so good. And you can tell with someone to love her, boy, they're great dogs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Great dogs. Bridget?
Well, Soul to Soul is completely foster based. So our number one need is for more fosters, mm-hmm. which kind of segue into the people are getting lonely and yeah. would more people would appreciate having a companion. And the nice thing about fostering is that the rescue provides the vetting, the rescue provides supplies, mm-hmm. food, and the best part, resources, education, mm-hmm. Just even a sounding board for troubleshooting. And fostering doesn't come with a fee. So our fosters get full support from the rescue board and leadership team. And we have public meet and greet events. We always have at least one a month, but we're transitioning to pretty much two a month now. We have always have at least one at Fisher's Hearth and Home. Thank you to the wonderful sponsors there. Mm-hmm. And we've recently partnered with Tractor Supply. So, and Joe is partnered with them as well. So we are
picked up. We're very thankful for that.
It's a great experience. We had our first experience this month. And
these are meet and greet events. Is that right?
Yes, we actually have dogs there.
Yeah.
And people can meet them up close and personally. They can take them for a short walk with one of our volunteers through the mm-hmm. store. At this time of year, we suggest not outside because it's too hot for their paws. Mm-hmm. In September, the Tractor Supply event is the second Saturday, and the Fisher's Hearth and Home event is the last Saturday of the month.
Okay.
Then in October, we're going to be a little bit busier. We will have an event at each of those locations, but we're also going to participate in Woofstock's Halloween Carnival, something that we started doing recently. And we find that it's a great networking opportunity. It's also a lot of fun. And we are also could use more volunteer photographers. If anybody is really into fundraising, mm-hmm. we could definitely use a fundraising coordinator. Okay. And as I said in the beginning, definitely more fosters.
Yeah. Good. So many ways to get involved. Love the meet and greets. I need to get out to these places. And thank you to Hearth and Home and Tractor Supply and Petco, all these other folks that are helping. That's so good.
It takes an army.
It does take an army, doesn't it? What about Saving Grace for ways to get involved and services, Jake?
Yeah, so there's so many ways to get involved, and it takes a community. It doesn't just take our staff team to run the shelter. It really, our volunteers really support us. We could not do it without them. Mm-hmm. From coming from a volunteer, there's so many various ways to get involved. They're very low commitment ways. Just coming once a week to let some dogs go on a walk, it not only makes their week, but it also makes the staff week, because trying to get these dogs out over a course of a week is very challenging. And you can just see the joy in the dog's eyes getting to go for a walk. It may seem silly to us, but it's a huge way to get involved, as well as helping cat team and morning cleanings. It does takes a while to get the cleanings done with our volunteers.
So we have a unique program, the Fido Field Trips yes. program, where you can take a dog out for the day, whether you're going out to a festival or just to your house, just so the animal can get out of the shelter.
Yeah.
So the Fido Field Trip program is something that we could definitely use more volunteers for as well. We also have lots of other ways to get involved. We are, you know, full service, so there's plenty of opportunity to help. Also, we have tons of events, of course, Paws for a Cause, we volunteers as well. But yeah, there's pretty much any way why you want to get involved. Again, fostering, as mentioned as well, we also have a huge need for that. We currently have over 80 animals in foster right now. Obviously, we can only house so many at the shelter, and we'd rather them be in a foster situation. It helps the animal calmer and adjust better than to have to be in the shelter. It's kind of an overwhelming environment for a lot of the animals. So whenever we can find a foster family, that's preferable. Yeah. But yeah, there's definitely lots of ways involved. And after Paws for a Cause, we have Pints for a Pet, which I'm really excited for. Yeah. It's going to be at Backside Brewing end of October as
That's
well.
That's great. And you've got adoption events that happen as well.
Yes, yeah. We do have. We're really excited. We got a grant with ISPCA to host 3 fee-waived adoption events. We just had one, and we adopted 75 animals in 2 days. Wow. So that was very exciting. And we have the next one coming up September 4th and 5th. That's going to be, we aren't including kittens and puppies in that. You can still adopt those, but they will have fees. The rest will be completely fee waived.
Okay.
So that's all sponsored by the grant. And the last one's in October. So
that's great
for that. Yeah.
And I think I've heard about some of the vaccine microchip opportunities as well.
Yes. Yeah, so we are just starting up our vaccine microchip clinics. Those are based on funding. Funding is everything, right? We can't do these services for people unless we have the money to do so. So that's one of the programs that has lower funding we could use more for. But I actually just got the announcement today that we're going to have our first one September 27th.
Okay.
So yeah, we have those. And we also have the subsidized spay and neuter every Wednesday. Those are appointment only. So if you want to get in, you know, we recommend calling the Wednesday for the next month so that you can try and get in, because they are very popular. So there's, you can get at cost, you can also get like a lower fee as well for those that can't afford it. And yeah, then we do have a mobile pet food bank as well, speaking of that, and it's at Stewart Park. It is the first Saturday month and the third Wednesday at Stewart Park. So any extra food donations after we, of course, have fed our animals in care, we try to provide for the community to support people that can't afford pet food that week or whatever.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so good. And Jason, in beginnings?
Yeah, so we've specialized just in cats, but we definitely need the help with fostering as well, just like everybody else here. Desperately need the help with fosters. We don't have enough fosters. You asked a question earlier, how many dogs do you like him to have adopted out every year?
Yeah.
And I think I have a good answer for the cats for our program, which is we want to adopt out enough cats to where we can't say no to somebody that says they have a cat for us to take. That's the hardest thing, is when we have a cat that we don't have the capacity for, and we can't help that cat.
It's always hard.
It's heartbreaking. And so if we have more fosters, we don't have to do that. We can find a home for them to live in temporarily. And also, like they hit, cats are unique. They have variety of personalities. And so when you have a cat that stays in a foster home, they get used to people, they get used to other pets, they get used to kids, they get used to all that kind of environment. And it just makes it easier for them to move into their permanent home once they're adopted. So fosters are critical. We always need more. But what else the New Begins does is we do adoption events very regularly at Petco. For those that are living here locally, if you go into Petco and you see the cats in the cages there, those are actually the New Beginnings SBCA cats. They're always available for adoption, even outside adoption events. There's contact information right there on the cages. You get hold of us, somebody will show up to help get the cat adopted. But every 2 weeks, we have an adoption event. We have one this Saturday at Petco. And then every 2 weeks, regularly, we have an adoption event. So we definitely need volunteers for the adoption events, too. And for those that just want to come say hi, we always say, you're welcome to pet the cats. You don't have to take one home if you don't want to.
Yeah.
So come pet the cats. Let them get used to people.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ways you can help us, too. We also, donations, food, anything like that is a huge help.
That's great. Yeah, I've been part of those events before, just as a community member, and I do appreciate that. Props to Petco for helping support that as well.
Yeah,
that's great.
We thank them a lot. It's really nice to have that facility to help get them adopted.
That's great. You know, it was interesting. We've had a theme that we've heard from a lot of professionals, medical professionals and others, who talk about in our community, there's a lot of people who do struggle and suffer with this epidemic of just being lonely. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me in this discussion about pets, because pets play a really important role. But I heard two things today that are compelling to me. There's this relationship with an animal that can be fulfilling.
Absolutely.
And I mean, we lost an animal, we lost one of our golden retriever dogs. I didn't even realize how hard it would hit me, actually, how bonded we were to that dog. So they definitely have this companionship aspect, but I've also heard that there's a community of people who also you can engage with, who also have something in common. They also like pets. So what can we learn about, I mean, let's talk about this connection real quick. If you've got someone listening today that just trying to find ways to connect, it seems like a way to connect might be around this foster idea, might be joining an organization and supporting, volunteering. Absolutely. It seems like there's ways to connect with other people and animals.
Absolutely. It's a whole community. Us fosters, we meet together during our adoption events. We have an online chat where we help each other out with tips and tricks and give each other advice. It takes a community to raise these animals. And then on top of that, like you said, as much as people connect with dogs, it's really easy to connect with cats too. You have to learn their language though. They are picky about their language. But you can have just as much a connection with a cat and fall in love with them. Sometimes too much, and it's hard to say no, and we end up keeping them instead of adopting them out, as I have done many times.
Yeah. Before the show, we talked about how many fosters you had and how many cats you have, and they've certainly...
I have too many.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, too many. Yeah,
well, I mean, seems like sometimes the animal chooses the person. Is that true?
It does.
I mean, you are animal experts. Does that happen?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it?
The prime example of that is the last three dogs we took in came up from California. I helped an advocate that I have worked with long-term with these three dogs. Mom was there. The two pups had grown up there since 6 months old. All they knew was knee-deep trash. So, I mean, Roz has been adopted out. He's doing good in his home. They're very experienced people. We were very lucky to find him. Amara had no idea what a soft textile item was. The first blankets we gave her, she shredded in minutes. She had no idea how to even respect them.
Yeah.
You know, and even now, she's been with us 3 months and she's still learning. She is finally accepting touch and wanting to be loved and hugged on. She's finally walking on site after she gets out of her pen and get some of the excitement out. She's finally starting to want to fetch a ball and play with people. But when she showed up, she knew none of that.
Yeah.
And that does make it much more difficult for us to place our dogs into a foster situation, because unless you're some type of a trainer or very highly experienced, it's just really hard to do that kind of rehab work.
Yeah.
I was going to say, on the loneliness thing, as I'm still learning our different programs and things that we do, we have one of the senior living homes actually come and visit the animals. And I've seen different things where they've actually been able to show how it really boosts the mood of all the seniors there, because some of them don't allow pets. I think that's one of the biggest barriers, is some want that companionship, but they don't live in a place that allows them to have pets. And it's also a big problem. We have a lot of larger dogs in our shelter because it's harder to get them into houses. A lot of places will allow smaller pets, but they don't allow bigger ones. And then, so that's, you know, it's kind of a cool way for them to be able to get that, you know, taste of that companionship.
When I was an elementary principal, we had this person that came in and it was Bonnie. We called her Bonnie the reader dog. And we'd have these kids that were like reluctant readers.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, hey, listen, you know, if you want to go read to the dog, and I'm telling you, it was like magic. A human couldn't have done it.
I just found out like today when I was talking to her about we do a program like that.
Yeah.
I was talking about volunteer
the readers. I mean, it's amazing,
it's
actually.
Really cool.
And I'd be like, you know, we see these kids, it's like, the last thing they want to do is read. And they, you know, they were kind of averse to that. But reading to Bonnie, the reader dog, was like next level for them. It was like, let's go. And the dog was like, there's something about an animal sometimes that they can teach us things, right? I know I stood there and I'm like, okay, I kind of have a background in this. And I couldn't do it with this dog who was just there. And the kids would like read to Bonnie. And, you know, you could see where they would gain their confidence by reading to this animal. And there was something about that animal being there that like connected with the kid in a way that sometimes an adult couldn't. And so they are kind of supernatural. They're They can do some things that we can't, right?
The dogs don't have the social barriers that we have in right. most of society, yeah. even in kids.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, it's interesting. Let me ask you a couple of questions. As experts in this field, for our listeners here, what are some of the most common challenges that put people at risk of giving a pet up? What do you see? I mean, we're talking about the back end of needing fosters, but what are some challenges? You know, no one probably goes into pet ownership and bringing this pet into your family thinking about having to give it up, but you are all in a spot of supporting sometimes someone that is in a crisis. So what are those things, what are some challenges, you know, common things you've seen that might put a person or a family in risk of maybe having to give a pet up?
Housing. When somebody loses their home and they had, you know, 5-6 cats and they don't have anywhere else to go, their natural instinct is just to let the cats go. Mm-hmm. And if they're not fixed, they reproduce. Mm-hmm. And then we have an issue with even more cats out there. Yeah. But housing is probably the number one cause of having to rescue some of these cats.
Yeah. I agree. The other barrier is affordable vet care. We have that happen a lot where people come and they can't afford to take care of their animal. And so they'll have to surrender it. And we usually have an opportunity to adopt them back mm-hmm. out just so they can get them some vet care,
yeah.
which is really sad. And we can only do basic services, yeah. but, you know, we do what we can in mm-hmm. the community.
We try to point them in the right direction to get the most help and yeah. resources. I work with people on a daily basis on the animal care team on the cat aspect of them either going through housing troubles or veterinary service troubles mm-hmm. or just having very unique situations that happen on a daily basis that are just very challenging for them. And it's definitely hard to see when they come to us with that situation, but we do the best we can to try to point them in the direct
yeah. And it's hard
direction.
On the staff too, you know, the team mm-hmm. that you internalize it a lot.
Yeah.
And Jake's, you know, he's on the front line, yeah. so he sees it every day.
Yeah, I'm hearing these resources though mm-hmm. that many may not know about, right? So if you're listening today and you're like, hey, we're going through some bumpy times, the economy's, everything's complicated, you know, seems like everything's getting expensive and there's a lot of pressures on, you know, everybody in the county around, you know, finances and things. And mm-hmm. but I'm hearing some great resources. I think what I'm hearing the group kind of say too is before you get to that crisis point, use some of the resources that are
yes.
there.
Please, yes.
Yeah. yes.
And if we can't help, we provide a list of resources to
yes.
people. So, because obviously we can't take in every single animal. So if we can't, we try to provide resources and point people in the right direction. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a common theme between all of us is if we can't help yeah. those cats, we have other groups that we mm-hmm. reach out to and we try to find something because yes. it's for the animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do try to work together as much as we can. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important because it's, you know, the old adage that it takes a village. Yeah. It really, really does.
Yeah.
I did want to point out a couple other things. Yes, we are definitely experiencing the situations that were described and a couple others that that at least I have been confronted with in my work of the rescue. One is when folks, and a lot of times these are folks that don't have family around at all, if they get to the point where they need long-term hospitalization or long-term care, mm-hmm. or they pass and have nothing in writing, mm-hmm. what happens to their animals? So because there is a high retirement population here,
yeah.
we see more of that as time goes on. The other thing is because we're very rural, there are a lot of people with very big hearts who take on more stray animals than they have the resources or the ability to handle. And then at some point they realize they're overwhelmed and then they need help.
Yeah.
So all of those things are intertwined, I think.
Because I can't tell you the number of barn cats we've had to rescue because they save a few and then it turns into 100.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the other added aspect to that is I hear a lot of medical and training issues. And sometimes, and this is part of why I got to the point early on in my rescue that I never ignore a phone call, even if we're full. Because sometimes just giving somebody that right direction is all they need.
Yeah.
There's been multiple times that somebody has explained the situation and said, and it's like, well, that sounds like it's hormone driven, you know, get your animal fixed, give them this amount of time. If it doesn't change, call us back.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many times people call us back and, oh, thank you so much. Yeah, oh, this is working out great. We're able to keep our dog. And same thing with training. You know, people get a breed like these that don't realize that the background is working breed dogs. They need a task. They need energy expelled. They need something to do. And they put them in a stale environment, and then the dog is chewing on their other dog or chewing up furniture, and they're at a loss, and so they want to give the dog up.
Yeah.
And there is a couple organizations that we've worked with in the past that is, one of them is actually bully-based, that part of their mission is to help train dogs keep them in their home. So they will greatly reduce the fee or even in some cases take the fee totally away to train that dog and keep it in the home.
Yeah, that's great. And it's just interesting, right? Because it's one of those things, like, sometimes you have to be humble enough to ask the question, but not be embarrassed about it, right? Right. Every dog's a little different. And I think, like, when I've got four kids, I need to ask people all the time, like, how do I do this, right? I mean, because they're all different, right? And my animals, same way. I don't always understand them, but it is great. I really want to say, just on behalf of the community, thank you for everything you are doing to really provide an ecosystem of support. This is really what I heard. I think it's great. I see some ways, great ways to volunteer, great ways to get resources. Part of a healthy life is to have a nice balance. And I think a pet is a great balance in life. I know I can have a hard day, come home, my dog's always smiling, no matter what the day is, you know? Yeah. And that's pretty unique. They're special that way. And so thank you. I did want to turn a minute over to you, though, to give your cue to our listeners, Is there something you want to share with our listeners in terms of something they can think about this week, do this week, become involved? So I'll turn it over to Greg. Why don't you start us off?
Well, I'm kind of going to get this part. I'm representing to not just my radio station, but the PAWS team has an event coming up.
Yes.
We're supposed to be in with our panel, but they unfortunately can't be here. But at Too Shy Brewing, September 1st, from 5 to 7 p.m., Too Shy is donating 50% of their proceeds. Oh. PAWS team, great out that they help. You know, the spay and neuter, you guys know them. They're, mm-hmm. they're just fabulous.
They're great.
Folks.
Great team.
You want to know more about it? Head to thepawstream.square.site. Perfect way to help those guys out. Donate and help the cops.
Awesome. Thanks, Greg. And thanks for being involved and supporting all these organizations.
I'm honored. This is great.
It's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I would say my cue for them is if you can't help us directly and you have pets at home, get them spayed and neutered, please. You might think that, you know, they're never going to get out. They're never going to go make babies, but they do. Hence the reason why we're here. So if you can't help directly, at least do that.
Great. Thank you.
I would say, you know, we can't run. We are a nonprofit. We can't do all the services we have without the support of the community. So please, if you have, donate, come to our event tomorrow or volunteer your time any way that you can get involved. We can't do it without you guys. So.
Thank you. Yeah, my cue to the community definitely is to the younger people of the community. I definitely think you should at least try out volunteering in any of these organizations, Saving Grace Humane Society included. It will really change your life. It gives you a completely different aspect of the community, and it's a great way to get involved and a great way to spend your time.
Thank you.
I would encourage anybody who has even the slightest interest to visit us at Tractor Supply. That's our next event, the second Saturday of September. Get to know some of us, meet some of the dogs, and can definitely consider fostering. In addition to that, kind of a side note, but I think we're all experiencing this, is when you take on a new animal, whether it's from a member of the family, a neighbor, if you're just helping someone out, or if you go out and select your own, take the time to look up the breed and learn about them and know what you're getting into up front. I think that there's a lot of folks who think they're doing the right thing, and they have a connection with the animal because it belonged to their friend or their neighbor or their grandma or whoever it was, but they have no idea how to interact with that animal. They have no idea what kinds of diseases are common in that particular species or breed, or the behavior quirks. And so the two ways to learn that are, one, get online, go to the library, and two, volunteer to foster, because if you're fostering, you're going to get all that information from the organization that you're fostering for.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, I definitely have to back that up. Probably number one problem that I hear out there is people get a pit bull puppy when it's just this cute little ball of wrinkles, because they're basically nothing but wrinkles when they're that age, you know. And, it's so cute. Doesn't look up anything about them, and then it becomes this dog that they can't handle. So I definitely have to back that one up and you know, ask how you can get involved.
Yeah.
We're always looking, being the youngest organization in this room, as far as down here, we're always looking for places to have more events and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Again, we'll be at Tractor Supply. Come down and meet us. Come learn about the dogs. If you want an education, we have a great education display on our table. You know, come find out what these dogs are really about. Maybe you open up your facility to event for any of these groups, yeah, as far as that goes. But we're definitely, we're struggling to get known out here. And that's probably our main concern at this point.
Yeah. All right. So I've got a question for our professionals here real quick. If you've got several cats living in your neighborhood, we talked about feral cats a little bit here. Maybe you have some around your property. What should people do?
Well, if you reach out to us, New Beginnings SPCA, we do have a small team that does feed some of those feral communities, but it's a small team and most of our funding is for fosters. So what we do is we actually partner with the PAWS team. And we reach out to them to see if they can help as well, because they're really good at taking care of the feral communities, getting them trapped, getting them fixed, re-released. Mm-hmm. We help feed them as well. They help feed some of those feral communities as well. So we're definitely a resource. And if you think a cat looks like it's a pet, we also have scanners to scan for microchip to see if they are a pet.
Yeah.
And if so, maybe we can reunite them with their home.
Yeah. So on the feral cat side, it's great. There's a trap, rescue, release, mm-hmm, and that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then again, so, you know, if someone does find an animal they think's lost, I think reaching out to one of the organizations that might be able to scan that, see if it's a pet.
We just had to purchase a new microchip scanner. They're not cheap either.
Yeah.
But yeah, we absolutely reunify dogs and cats. So you can absolutely bring them to the shelter. If you find a stray animal, we have a whole system and database where we can match. If anyone's put in a request that they're missing their pet, then we can get them matched, reunified.
And you get to see that joy in your work of that, making that, you know, that match, the rematch, which is important.
Those are a happy bit of what we do. Absolutely.
Great. Thank you.
And then Jake, we also have a trap, neuter, release program which he's been able to work with. So
yes, I work front hand with our TNR program, our trap, neuter, release. So we have two programs here at the Humane Society for community cats. TNR, trap, neuter, release, is for our larger colonies of community cats. It's a way that we are able to get these cats neutered or spayed and released back to the community. We also have our return to field program, which is for a few community cats under 6 cats. That is a faster way to get in through our program and get fixed and get an ear tip so that they don't get retrapped in the future. As for lost pets, if you ever find a lost cat or a lost pet, you're more than welcome to bring into the shelter for a scan for a microchip. But also, one of the most beneficial things you can do is fill out a found report if you find a cat. And if you lose a cat, definitely fill out your lost report on our website, because we do check those every time a cat comes in stray or not stray.
Great advice. Thank you.
We also try to keep a couple kennels open out at our rescue for lost and found dogs. We have a microchip scanner on board. And if it's a dog that we end up holding, because we know Saving Grace is always taxed with that, we do report to Saving Grace, so it's in their system. And we can scan also. We keep our phone open for emergencies up until 11 o'clock at night for that kind of stuff.
Wow. I love the collaboration with the groups. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, really
good.
And
we do have a list of resources too. Like if you have a colony of cats and they're on a wait list to get a trapping group of volunteers out there, we do have resources to for humane ways to keep them off of your property. There's lots of different tips and tricks. And
all those resources are linked to our on our website under the Community Cat and Community Resources.
Great, thank you. Well, on behalf of the community, thank you for everything you're doing to help support all of our community members and our pets who we care about. And so thank you very much. And thank you for joining us today.
Yeah.
Thank you to our guests for joining us today. Please stick with us. We're going to have an after show on the Roseburg Facebook page. You can check that out afterward. Thank you for joining us. Have a lovely day, Douglas County.
Join us Thursday afternoons from 4 to 5 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, or watch online on the Roseburg Schools YouTube channel and the York U Facebook page. This show is built with our community, for our community. If you have an idea for a conversation that celebrates, uplifts, or educates Douglas County, or know someone that should be featured, connect with us. Reach out to yourq@roseburg.k12.or.us or message the program on Facebook.